Jesus says here, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. My dear friends, if I ask you what is the most delicious food or drink you have ever had, I don't know what is your answer. Once I have a raw lobster. It was lovely. But I guess I was a bit suspicious. I'll tell you the best drink I ever had. It was in my first school picnic. In primary school, we went to an all-school picnic. It was pure fun. Except I didn't have enough water. So I got very thirsty. As if from nowhere, some hawkers came along selling Chinese tea, but cold Chinese tea, for 20 cents a cup. Now that was many, many years ago, I guess 40 years ago. And it was a rip-off. I knew that. Who would buy a cup of cold Chinese tea for 20 cents? But I just got 20 cents and I went and bought that tea. It was the most delicious drink I ever have tasted in my life. Because I was so thirsty. Thousands of people followed Jesus on one occasion. They followed Jesus to a deserted place and Jesus ministered to them. He taught them, he preached to them. When Jesus preached, it would be for hours because his sermon was just so wonderful. So they stayed for long until the day was far gone. They didn't expect to stay for that long, so they didn't bring along food, and people were getting hungry. Except one boy who got dinner prepared, 5 cheap barley buns and 2 small fishes. And he gave them to Jesus. With that, Jesus multiplied the bread and the fish and he fed 5,000 men. And there were some women and children there as well. The people were so impressed with this miracle that they were going to take Jesus by force and make him king. Lord Jesus, you be our king. Feed us with our daily bread every day like that so that we don't have to work anymore. Jesus, you are the prophet who is to come to this world as promised by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. But Jesus was not pleased with that. He was not going to be a political messiah. He wasn't going to be a savior from famine or the prime minister for Israel. So he dismissed the crowd. He told them, go home. I'm not going to be such a king. So he sent them home. But the next day, the crowd, the people caught up with Jesus and they were not to let him go. At that point, Jesus rebuked them in verse 26 and verse 27 of chapter 6 of John's Gospel. Jesus said, you people come to me just for physical food. But let me tell you, do not labor for the food that will perish, but labor for the food that will endure to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because the Father, God the Father, has set his seal on him. I only got 2 things to say tonight, and they will be short. And then we have the Lord's Supper. First of all, coming to Jesus for food. These people came to Jesus for bread, for fish. I guess for us we would say, wow, what, just dry bread and dry fish? How silly were they? We who are used to lobsters and crabs and fish and noodles and so on. Friends, before we condemn these people too quickly, let us remember they were a poor people. Their greatest concern was indeed their daily bread. I don't think any of us has ever been hungry for too long. We may be hungry for half a day, and then we go home, we go to McDonald's, and we have our meals. But these people were literally struggling for their daily bread. And here is Jesus. He can multiply bread at will. Oh, Jesus, you can give us our daily food. But Jesus says, don't come to me for that. Don't labor for food that will spoil, that will not last. My dear friends, we too can come to Jesus for the wrong reasons, for physical benefit or worldly comfort. We say, oh, Jesus will hear my prayer and he will give me a job. Oh, Jesus is very kind. He will help me in my studies. Oh, God is gracious. He will heal my illnesses. Oh, God is so kind. He will give me a girlfriend. Oh, Jesus will make my life better. Jesus will give me comfort. My dear friends, yes, Jesus will give us all those things as he fed the 5,000. But Jesus here tells us, do not labor for such things. Do not aim at such things, because these things will pass away. You must labor for food that will last. So my second point, coming to Jesus for Jesus. Coming to Jesus for Jesus. In verse 27 here, Jesus says, you people, you labor for the food that will endure to everlasting life. Desire that. Put your effort into getting this lasting food. Many people believe in God, but many of them do not put the things of God first. How about you, my dear friends? How about me? Do we put the things of God first? Do we say, I will put forth my greatest strength and energy for the pursuit of God? My friends, we can put good things, legitimate things, before God. Our studies are important. Our works are important. Our families are important. But God must be first. The things of God which last forever must have the first place in our hearts. And Jesus goes on to say, only he, the Son of Man, can give that sort of lasting food. No one can give us this lasting food except Jesus Christ Himself. And what is this lasting food? In verse 33, look at it. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This is the lasting food. The bread of God. The bread from God. The bread that comes from heaven. And this bread will give life to this world. The people still don't understand Him. And they said to Jesus, give us this bread always. And then Jesus makes it very clear in verse 35, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus Christ Himself is the lasting food that God has given this world. In verse 35 again, Jesus says, He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. That is His promise. I don't know whether we indeed know the reality of that. Tonight as we sit together so comfortably, you know there are Christians in North Korea, in Egypt, in Vietnam, in China, in Indonesia, and they are suffering persecution. Someone told me after the morning service this morning, some Christians were bombed. Was it in Egypt? Just this morning? After they went to church, others were imprisoned, others were tortured. How could they suffer so much for Christ? Oh, we say, they are brave men and women, they are. They are people of faith, they are. But they will say this to us, Jesus is our daily bread. Jesus satisfies our souls. Jesus gives us joy as we have communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. We find Christ to be so sweet and precious and wonderful that we are willing to suffer anything for His name. Instead of denying Christ. My dear friends, do we know that reality? Tonight as we come to communion, do we know communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, if we do not know that, if Jesus is only a name, a theory, a doctrine, my dear friends, doctrines are good. Teachings are good. Theology is good, but theology cannot save us. Only Christ can. We can argue about theology till the morning comes, and we can still be far, far away from Christ. I remember, it was so many years ago. The Reverend Ian Murray were to leave his church at Hurstfield. And we young people had a farewell party held in my home. Ian Murray and his wife came along. It was a sad occasion, a joyful occasion in another sense. And Ian Murray saw my books, All Band of Truth, John Owen, John Calvin, Thomas Goodwin, so on and so forth. You know what he said? He said it is good to have his books, but don't rest on the books. Rest on Christ. And friends, if we do not quite know Christ, if Christ is only a name, a concept, an idea, a doctrine, let us go and ask Christ to be our Christ. Let us say to Jesus, oh, may you be born in my heart tonight. Lord Jesus, I want you, please give me yourself. I don't quite know you. I've been a Christian for many years. I've read books about you. I love doctrines, but Jesus, I don't quite know you as the bread of life that will satisfy my soul. Please give yourself to me. Can we do that? We must do that. We must go and ask God for Christ. We must go and ask Jesus to be real and precious and dear and sweet to us. Let us go on asking until we have Christ. Now look at verse 51. Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Underlined here, Jesus says, I'm going to give my flesh for the life of the world. What does that mean? At that point of time, what does that mean? Jesus says, I'm going to give my flesh for the life of the world. I'm going to give my body. I'm going to lay down my life for the world that it may be saved. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That is Jesus' meaning here. He's going to give his flesh, his life for the world. My dear friends, you may still remember John 3:16. And I mentioned it a number of times recently. And I told you, the world in John's Gospel stands for not this big wide world, but this big bad world. The world hates God. The world rejects God. The world crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet God demonstrates his own love in the sending of his Son to give his flesh to save this world. My dear friends, at the end of the day, the world will be saved, even though many shall perish. You know, Christian people like to argue about what is the world in John 3:16. And they forget that at the end, the world shall be saved, though many shall perish. And my dear friends, make sure you and I among those who are saved. Now lastly, what are we to do with the bread of life? We are blessed to live in Sydney, and there are many famous bread shops and bakeries. Not your cheap $1 per loaf bread shop. I don't think you can get that anymore, but maybe $1.50 or $2, whatever. But there are some very famous bakeries, and they sell the most wonderful and delicious bread. But my friends, unless we go and buy it or someone give it to us and then we eat it, we shall not know how good that bread may be. Well, once or twice I've tasted some of this bread and they're just wonderful, isn't it? Even bread can taste so well. I'm Chinese, sorry to say that. Chinese people don't like bread, but sometimes bread can be so delicious that even Chinese people can like it. So what are we going to do with the bread of life? Look at verse 53. Jesus says, "Amen, amen, I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Verse 54, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Again and again, Jesus said in this chapter, "I am the bread of life, and my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed, and you people are to eat my flesh and drink my blood." He said it not just once or twice, but many a times in this chapter. And the Jews were offended. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. "We are not cannibals. What are you talking about? We don't drink blood. We are not pagan. You go to Bondi and meet some Jews and you read to them John chapter 6 and they'll be greatly offended. It's worse than eating pork. How can we eat your flesh and drink your blood?" So friends, how do we eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood? The Roman Catholic Church says, go to Mass. Go to communion, and then you eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood. What do you say to that? Well, John chapter 6 is not about the Lord's Supper. And furthermore, when we come to communion, whether you come to Presbyterian Church or the Roman Catholic Church, bread is still bread. Wine is still wine. You don't go to a Catholic Church and then you taste bread or wafer as human flesh. And then you don't taste the wine to become human blood. So how do we eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood? Well, it's simply, look at verse 35 in this way. "He who comes to me shall never hunger." How do we eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood? It's by coming to him. Verse 35 again, "He who believes in me shall never thirst." It's by believing in him. In verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." This is how we eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood. We come to Christ. We take Him as our all in all. We believe in Him. We receive Jesus. We remain in Christ. We take Him completely and totally. We say to Christ, take me to be your child. Take me to be among your people. Come what it may. Tonight, as we take the bread and drink the juice, if it got poisoned, we all got poisoned. But friends, it hasn't got poisoned. It hasn't. But when we come to Christ, whatever He is, we become like Him. He is our Lord, He is our God, He is our Savior, He is our all in all. And that is how we eat Jesus' flesh and drink His blood. Are we doing that? Are we doing that day by day? Moment by moment? Or are we Christians by name only? Oh, my dear friends, may we be Christians in truth, indeed. Shall we pray? O Lord Jesus, take us to be your children and your people. O Lord Jesus, help us to come to you, to believe in you, to receive you, to take you as our all in all. In your precious name do we pray. Amen.